Hello there. Welcome to the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah, and I am here to talk all things private practice, helping you to build your vision of the private practice of your dreams. Hello again. Thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you for those of you who are sharing the podcast with people that you think could really use it. I am glad that the information is helpful, and I'm hoping to keep doing this and giving more information where I can. So today, I wanted to talk about some of the changes in the landscape of healthcare and how that is affecting our private practices. And by, you know, kind of the landscape in healthcare, what I'm referring to is more the corporate changes that are going on in a lot of places. We have seen significant mergers of some of these larger healthcare institutions. And some of you listening to the podcast may still, you know, work for some of these larger institutions. Some of you are already in private practice. Those that are in larger institutions that may be thinking about going into private practice, this, you know, this may be actually affecting you more than not. So I think with private practice, our big concern is when things really shift. And when there is either, you know, a huge change in the providers in our area, whether they're independent going to corporate or whether they're corporate and dissolving and having to go elsewhere because of non-competes, whether it's just a larger group coming into our area where all of a sudden the competition is significantly more stiff for getting the same number of patients. I think there are changes like this that can happen. And our big concern in private practice is, you know, being self-employed, how do we keep our bottom line and consistency in our volume and our profit base? So, you know, we need to keep making sure we can pay ourselves. With that said, I have a list of about 5 things that we can do to make sure that during those more turbulent times, we are doing some things that will make sure to maintain some consistency for us. Some of it's things that everybody knows. We just need to make sure we're actually doing them. So this will be a nice reminder. And then some of it may be things that you haven't thought about and hopefully find this helpful. Let's start number one as a little more of an obvious one, and that is making sure that you are cultivating your referral sources, that you are maintaining those relationships. And depending on if you're primary care or if you are a specialist, you're going to be getting referrals from particular places. For what I do with specialty care, that's going to be more primary care, internists, endocrinologists. So one of the things we need to make sure we're doing is tracking where our referrals are coming from. If you are not already tracking this, you need to be. Just get started. Even if you go back maybe 2-3 months just to get yourself some data, that would be helpful. Now, everybody's data is going to be in different places, right? Some of the EMRs nowadays are pretty great about telling you where your referral sources are coming from. Like, you can find a report for anything. And some of us are still doing it on paper, and that's fine too. But if that's the case, then there needs to be some kind of, you know, shared Google Sheet where your front desk can record where your referrals are coming from. That's really important. So you need to have some kind of tracking of that, and that'll give you a good idea of where most of your current referrals are coming from. Now, once you've got a good idea of this, we need to make sure that we're keeping in touch with those people. And you got to keep yourself in front of those providers and their staff, whoever their referral coordinator is, to make sure that we are getting the maximum number of referrals we can. So one of the ways to do that is send your notes. A lot of us already do this, and that's great. But do check in with your staff and make sure that they are, in fact, sending notes. It is a very common thing that after you've been in practice for a while and people know you in your area, you sort of stop doing that. And that's fine. You know, at some point you maybe didn't need to. However, now with things changing, we probably should start that up again. So make sure that that is something you're doing. If it is a known referral source, then you can just send your note. If it is somebody that is new to the area who is getting their practice up and going, or just maybe isn't as aware of you, but you know that they may have the type of patient that you would like to be driving into your practice, I would go ahead and include for a little while with each note, just a quick cover letter that introduces yourself, says, thanks for allowing me to participate and carry your patient. Here's the generalized plan. I've attached my note for your records, and then provide your cell phone number in case they need anything. And I think that that goes a long way to establishing that rapport with the physician. So that'll keep you in front of them, right? The next thing you can do is, if you're not already, consider cross-referring and consider doing it a lot. If you're talking to patients and you're noticing they're saying that they're not, you know, really thrilled with their primary care, or they're not really, you know, thrilled with so-and-so, or they just need a referral to a good dermatologist or whatever, that is a good place to make sure that you are primarily referring to people that are referring to you. And that's how most of us do this, right? I mean, you know, if you've got a patient that is really wanting to be in the private practice arena as opposed to a larger healthcare system, then, you know, making sure that you have a referral base of other private practice physicians is going to hold a lot of weight. And this is what a lot of us do, is refer a lot to each other. So the other thing you need to do is make sure that you're making it easy for them to refer to you. And do not make it the old school way of, you know, faxing over a request and all the records and all. Like, if you can, get with the times, you know, get a, at minimum, you can have your website set up with a referral button on the website. And that can be a hugely beneficial thing for whoever the front desk or referral coordinator, or if it's the other doc that's doing the referral, just to be able to go on there real quick, push a button, input the information they need, and it spits out to your front desk so they can make the call for the referral. The other thing you could do if you want to go a little more old school, or if you're not as tech savvy, is you can certainly come up with having referral pads printed. A lot of physical therapy groups will still do that if they're not really set up for the, you know, e-prescribing of orders. So, you know, consider a nice looking referral pad. You can do stuff like that on VistaPrint. It's not terribly hard to do. Okay, that's number one, right? Keep in touch with your referral sources. Make sure to cultivate those relationships. If you periodically want to bring them coffee, I'm sure they will not, you know, object to that. Number two is, consider starting a local independent private practice doctor mastermind group or business group, whatever it is you want to call it. I think that while Facebook groups and some of these larger groups that are nationwide are super helpful to be able to, you know, put something out there and get a bunch of feedback, because you've just got a wider pool of people that you can cast that question out into, that's great. But they don't necessarily know your local landscape, right? They don't know that you have a hospital system that just left the area. They don't know that, you know, you just had a huge merger and they've bought up almost all the private practices in your area. And now you're trying to see if you can compete with a larger healthcare system. So I think having a small group of doctors that are committed to staying in private practice and having their businesses flourish is a really important group that you can rely on, that you guys can ask questions to. And even if it's not a monthly thing, because I've done these and it is very difficult to get everybody, you know, available at the same time, it's nice if you can meet up in person. But even if it's just over Zoom and you guys find a night every couple of months where you all sit down and talk about some of the things that you're struggling with in private practice and some staffing issues. And, you know, it's nice to get other people's opinions. And a lot of times you get some really good information or just a different perspective of, you know, what's going on that you weren't really considering. Business groups and mastermind groups can be highly, highly beneficial for us. Number three, we're going to move on here. Number three is that you can advertise directly to your consumer, which is your patients. And this is really all about trying to make yourself known to people who are not already aware of you. This is a lot harder of a lead to try to bring into the practice. It is easier if you're working more on referral sources and other physicians, because that's one point of contact for potentially many patients being referred. when you're directly advertising to your patient or your market, you're looking at a one-to-one, and it's kind of what they would call a cold outreach, right? So they're not already aware of your services, and you're having to put yourself out there. What I think is beneficial when you're going through a large change in your area is, you know, thinking about what is that change that's happening and how does that affect the patients? What is it about what's happening that patients are not going to like, right? So let's use the example of a really large healthcare merger in the area where they've absorbed, you know, like what happened in my area, like 80%, it seemed like, of the physicians in the area were suddenly working for, you know, this larger healthcare group. Well, yes, that opened up services for patients in general at the larger healthcare system. But what it also did is significantly increase their wait times to be able to get an appointment, because a lot of doctors ended up leaving. They didn't want to work for the larger healthcare system, so they retired. And that is a really common thing that we're seeing right now, is a high retirement rate. So often people are looking to get in and they just can't. It's months and months out. So if you have the ability to have, you know, later night appointments, maybe you start later one day and you go later one day. If you have the ability to reserve some room for some same day emergencies, those are the kind of things that you can advertise. So think about what's happening and what people are unlikely to like about the current situation, and then see if your practice can just do the opposite. It really is that simple. So some of the, you know, examples of things that you could be advertising would be, you know, lower wait times in the office, right? Less time to get an appointment. You could also really take the line of what's better about private practice. Well, it's that doctor-patient relationship. So if you notice that we're having less private practices in your area, start really advertising the benefits of private practice. What is that relationship patients get to have with their doctor when they see a private practice doc? So those are things to consider, just straight advertising to consumer. And you can do this, general ways are going to be, you know, either physically or online, right? And if you already know the type of patients that you're looking to bring in, so, you know, if I really wanted to bring in more sports medicine type of patients, I'm probably going to go put something physically up, like a flyer at the gym. Now, the rate of return on stuff like that is not huge, but in the case of a really big change, you don't want to leave stones unturned. Don't leave opportunity on the table. So there's nothing wrong with going ahead and putting up a flyer. You can set it and forget it, right? The other option, which is probably where you're going to get more return, is to go ahead and go online. And that's going to be your Google ads. You can use social media ads. You are probably going to have to do the pay for play. That's part of the deal. Generally, posting on your Facebook page when you don't have a large audience as a business is going to get you nowhere on Facebook, unfortunately. So you are going to need to do some kind of ads and make sure that you're ranking high enough on Google that people can find you. So that's number three, direct-to-consumer advertising. Number four, you can consider adding unique services that no one else in your area is offering. And this just takes a little bit of research. You just can go on to other websites. You can look around at what's going on in your area. And you can tell if there is a particular type of service that nobody else is really doing. So the idea with this is becoming more of a niche market, right? Especially if you're trying to compete with a larger corporation. Because if you were to put your website up with a larger corporation's website, odds are your website's going to get knocked out of the first few places. It's just, we do not have the resources to be able to compete with the Amazons and the large healthcare systems. Like, we just don't. And that's okay, because you don't have to try to compete in the same arena that they are, right? And I've talked about this in another podcast that, you know, the healthcare systems get to compete on the convenience, level. Like, they are all about convenience. They're all about access to care and all, and that's great. You can still have convenience, but you're not going to compete with them on convenience. Where you're going to compete is in the quality. And you can't necessarily compete in quality and convenience at the same time. It just does not work well. So you want to more look at yourself in terms of, okay, I can offer a quality of care, or I can offer these specialty services that they are not able to offer. And then you advertise the heck out of it. That's how that works. So the fifth one, the final one, and this is going to sound a little bit weird, but this is one that really is going to be specific to your area. If you are in a situation where you have a lot of physicians that are faced with either joining in with a larger group or going out on their own, and they are potentially struggling to figure out how to continue to see their patients without staying, you know, in a situation that's not ideal for them, you can offer up renting out part of your office space to help these other physicians get started on their independent practice. This is something that I did when I started out. I actually rented space out of a general surgery office, and it really was helpful to both of us. You know, I mean, you as an office get to collect a little bit of rent, right? Not a lot, but a little bit. Helps you out with your bills. They are getting to start out with a very manageable level of expenses while they grow their practice. And this is a very easy sublet agreement, especially if you make it so that they have all of their own EMR, their own staffing, everything else. They're just paying you a fee, you know, whether you want to do it per day they use it, per week they use it, whatever you want to do. There's a lot of ways to do this. There's no wrong answer to how to do this. It just takes some creativity. But I think offering up the ability for people to stay in that area, especially if they're a potential referral source later, set it up where it's going to be a year or two that they're there getting everything going. And that way, when they're ready to launch forward, you know, you've really invested in your community to be able to help patients have more options that are independent and private practice. So that one's not as much about increasing your revenue or maintaining revenue. It's about actually taking your expenses down a little bit and helping to generally support your area with other private practices. And that's going to wrap it up for today. So I hope these five things were at least helpful. If nothing else, just to remind you of the things that you can do, that you do have the ability to still continue to thrive and still continue to move your business forward, even when it seems like all of these external factors, you know, may be coming in and trying to threaten the practice. I certainly hope you enjoyed, and I hope you will join me next time on the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast.